Now we're holding on Dalet Amud Aleph, the 11th line. So far we were discussing the question, which Tana does our Mishnah go like? Because we had in our Mishnah, Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba, and we have Yedias HaTumah Shtayim Shein Arba. Now we said there's two possibilities of what the Mishnah is talking about. Does it mean on the face of it, we're talking about things b'shogeg? So Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba would mean there were two cases where a person made a Shavua, and now the result of that is that he has to bring a korban, where he swore that he, or not necessarily b'shogeg per se, but as far as a korban. So on the face of it, the Mishnah was talking about as far as a korban, namely, you can have the case where he made a Shavua that I will do something, or I won't do something, or I did do something, or I didn't do something. The problem with that, we said, is that only according to Rabbi Akiva would that make him chay of korban. In all four of those cases, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it would not. On the other hand, then we said we had Yedias HaTumah Shtayim Shein Arba, meaning on the face of it that we're talking about again as far as when he brings a korban, and that would be where he. We said he has to have Yedia B'tchilo B'sof V'Hela Mentayim. He has to know at the beginning that he was Tomei, know at the end that he was, know afterwards that he was Tomei, and in between he had a period of forgetfulness. So then you can have that the Shtayim are that during that time he entered the Beis Hamikdash or ate Korbanos, and Shehein Arba would be that during that time having forgotten that he was Tomei, and then the Shehein Arba would be that he knew that he was Tomei but didn't know that this was the Beis Hamikdash or this or these are Kodshim. The problem with that, we said, is according to Rabbi Akiva, he's not chayav a korban in all four of those cases. So who is the Mishnah like? So we've been working to try to see who the Mishnah goes like. So far, the Gemara had said that we could make our Mishnah go like Rabbi Shmuel, provided that we say we're not talking about as far as the number of cases in which he brings a korban, but rather we're talking about the number of cases in which he would get malchus. So the Shavuos would be, we would say that Rabbi Shmuel patters him from a korban in the cases of a Shavua in the past, but he would still be Mechayev in Malkus. And we would say, as far as Tumas Mikdash HaKadosh, that also there's Malkus in each of these cases. And then we talked about in that connection about Lav Shein Memaisa. So now the Gemara says, "B'mayu kinta." Okay, so how have you established the Mishnah so far? Rabbi Shmuel, you've said that the whole Mishnah goes like Rabbi Shmuel, Ulam Malkus, and you're saying that that's as far as Malkus, that you're saying that the Shtayim Shein Arba in each case is as far as what, how many cases are there that you're going to get Malkus? The question with that is, "Maris Negoyim, my Malkus Ika." The question is, and when it comes to Maris Negoyim, how exactly are we talking about where there's Malkus? Mela, if we say we're talking about as far as Korbanos, then you can say that there's Shayim Shein Arba. In terms of Malkus, there's going to be altogether four different cases, two primary, two secondary, where eventually he's going to bring his Korbanos as a Mitzurah. But if you're saying you're talking about Malkus, then what Malkus is there? Now you could say that it means, in other words, if he has any of these four kinds of tzaras, and then they tell him, don't go into the Beis Hamikdash, or not eat kodshim, then he's going to get Malkus. But Tosfos says, then that's not really a separate thing. That's just a branch of Yedias HaTumah. Yedias HaTumah where he knew and then forgot and then knew again that he's Tomei with something, and the something could be anything. It could be anything from Tumas Sheretz all the way up to Tumas Mess and everything in between. So if we're putting it together with the Gemara is assuming at this point that all the Shtayim Shein Arbas there has to be something more in common with them than just the numbers. Pnei Yeshua points out that after all, because we have to say there's some kind of chiddush in the Mishnah, if we're just listing a bunch of numbers, there's no real chiddush in it. So the answer is you could find the koitzitz b'harutoy v'chirub of an omer of ilah. You could have a case where he cuts off the baheres or any other simon of tzaras, and therefore that would go like what and that would be a loisas, and he'd be chayav malchus for it, like Rav Oven says in the name of Rav Ilah. The omer of Oven, omer of Ilah, kol makom shenemar yishomer pen va'al. Whenever the Torah says any of these phrases, he shomer or pen or owl, ha'ra'ena el loisaseh, then it means that it's a loisaseh. And here the Torah tells us, aside from all the dinim of tzaras that are in Parshas Tezriya Metzora that we just had in the Parashah of the Week, aside from that, in Parshas Kisaitse, the Torah tells us he's shomer b'negat tzaras. Be very careful with the negat tzaras, and the word he shomer constitutes a lav, namely not to cut off any simone tumah. So therefore, so you could say the Shtayim Shein Arba is telling you that there are two primary and two secondary cases where if a person has any of these simonim of tzaras on his body and he cuts them off or otherwise makes it that now there's no simonim tumah on it, then he's getting malchus for that. Tosfos points out that based on that, it would mean that he wouldn't be chayev if in fact it turns out that it was not that it was not actually tzaras. Tosfos points out that there are other gemaras that imply that maybe he would be chayev even if it was a duller shade, which doesn't amount to one of the four shades. But rather, Tosfos says that's not what the gemara over there means. He is in fact only chayev, as all gemara is implying, only for the arba. Fine. What about Yitzias Shabbos, my Malkus Ifka? Fine. What about, again, if we're going to assume that all the cases in the Mishnah are the same kind of thing, and all of them are referring to Korbanah, so all of them now we're saying are referring to Malkus, then we have to ask by Yitzias Shabbos, what Malkus is there? Lav shenitzen lazharas misas beisdinu. Shabbos is a lav where there's a misas buddhism azhara from misas beisdin involved, because if the edim see him doing it, they see him transferring from one rishus to another, they're going to give him a warning that he's chayv misas beisdin. And we know that the rule is v'cholav shenitzen lazharas misas beisdin ein loikin olav. And any such lav, you don't get malchus for it. It's one or the other. Either they give him asura for skila, or if they don't give him asura for skila, then he doesn't get malchus, because that's the Torah is not, when the Torah wrote that lav, was not to tell us, like this we learned in Makkos, that most lavim in the Torah, unless we have reason to say otherwise, then a person gets malchus. But here, the lav for Shabbos is not to begin with to tell us that he's chayiv malchus, but rather to tell us that he's chayiv misa. So how would that work? So the Gemara says, well, Mishum Hachi, Komok Minuk Rabbi Shmuel. You know what? That point is exactly what forced us in the first place to say that the Mishnah should go like Rabbi Shmuel. When we had to begin with, that we were asking, one part of the Mishnah seems to be like Rabbi Shmuel, the other part seems to be like Rabbi Akiva. We chose to say the whole Mishnah goes like Rabbi Shmuel, and to start saying that the Mishnah is not talking about the number of Korbanos, but rather the number of Malkus. You know why we chose to make it like Rabbi Shmuel? It's precisely because of that point. He says that a person would get malchus for such a kind of lav. So there you go. This, and now everything works out neatly. So all four cases of the Mishnah are talking about where there's malchus involved. Shavuos would be, again, we're saying according to Rabbi Shmuel, even though he's mechayev a korban for only the ones for the future, he says there's malchus for the ones in the past. I lav shein memaisa, we dealt with that matter already. The one about Yediyah Satumah would also mean that we're talking about the number of cases in which he's chayev malchus for entering the Mishnah or eating kodesh in the tumah. The Maris Negoyim would be talking about the number of cases in which he's chayev malchus for cutting off signs of tzaras, and the Yitzias Shabbos would be according to Rabbi Shmuel the number of times that he could be chayev malchus for transferring things on Shabbos from one rishus to the other. The Pnei Yeshua, by the way, and some of the Foshim before him talk about why it is that in the Mishnah we had Yitzias Shabbos before Maris Negoyim. Why is the Gemara mentioning them out of order? They make a point. These Foshim because the one about Shabbos leads into a whole discussion over here, as opposed to the one about Maris Negoyim was actually because now the Gemara is going to continue that does this really work to say that the Mishnah is all talking about Malkus, and the question is going to be based on the Yitzias Shabbos, not so much on Maris Negoyim. So therefore, it's like a disposed of the question and answer on Maris Negoyim first, and now it's going into the one that gives us more of an Arichus. And then, for that matter, if it asked the one on Shabbos, we wouldn't even have the opportunity to bring up the one from Maris Negoyim, and the Gemara likes to bring up every possible question that it can. So far, so good. But the problem, so now the question is, so you're telling me, in other words, that the whole reason why we chose to say that the Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Shmuel is because of this problem, because otherwise, how could we say it's referring to Malkus? What would we do? Is it Yetzias HaShabbos? And the answer is, because for that, we actually have Rabbi Shmuel's opinion that says there is Malkus in that case. So, what does that mean? The Gemara says, Holav Hochi, Taimah Kirav Akiva. So does that mean if it weren't for that problem, we would have tried to make the Mishnah work like Rabbi Akiva, and we would prefer to do that, because Sam Mishnah, the mayor, and the mayor in turn was primarily a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara mentions elsewhere, by the way, that the mayor started out as a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, but he couldn't fully understand Rabbi Akiva's Torah, so he went and learned by Rabbi Shmuel for a while, and then once he was more of an accomplished Talmud Chacham, then he came and learned by Rabbi Akiva. But basically, we say, and we learned in Sanhedrin, that now, when we say Stam Mishnah and a mayor, Stam Sifra and Rabbi Huda, and all the rest of them is all the Cholo al Libra de Rabbi Akiva. So other things, so in general, we would prefer to have a Stam Mishnah go according to Rabbi Akiva. So you're telling me, if it weren't for the issue involving the Malkus for Shabbos, you would have preferred to say that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva. The question is, like we said before, Kashi Yedias. We have a better reason why we can't make the Mishnah work according to Rabbi Akiva, because you have the question, that according to Rabbi Akiva, how can you say Yedias Atoma Shtayim Shein Arba? When according to Rabbi, if you're saying we're talking about as far as Korbanos, we said before that according to Rabbi Akiva, you're not chayav a Korban for all four cases of Yedia. So what are you telling me? Only because of the matter of the Malkus of Shabbos does that force us to make the Mishnah work according to Rabbi Shmuel? Without that, anyway, we have a reason why the Mishnah can't work according to Rabbi Akiva. The Pnei Yehoshua points out, listen, the Gemara could have easily said at this point, just because you have a bunch of two which are fours, Shtayim Shein Arba, in our Mishnah, it doesn't mean necessarily that all of them have to be the exact same kind of thing. You could say the Gemara sometimes has the expression, Ha-Kid-Issa, each one has its own details within it. So the Gemara could have given that answer, but instead the Gemara is going to find a different. Instead the Gemara is going to find a different way to do it. And more to the point, anyway, the Gemara is going to be bothered by, according to Rabbi Akiva, why we're using the word Yedias when the key thing is not the Yedias Atuma, but rather the key thing is the number of Hasrois, as the Gemara is going to go and work out. So the Gemara says, why? That's not a problem. Lav Amit Rabbi Shmuel Hi Ula Malkus. So far, what have we been saying? That the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Shmuel, and it's not talking about cases of how many cases where he has to bring a korban, but rather we're talking about how many cases where he gets Malkus. Well, then fine, Rabbi Akiva Nami Ula Malkus. Well, then fine. Even if we want to say the Mishnah was according to Rabbi Akiva, you could also say that he means that there were all those cases where he's Chayav Malkus. So in other words, the Mishnah would still be saying, when it comes to Yedias HaTumah, the question was, Rabbi Akiva is not Mechayev him a korban for all four cases, where he, in particular, we said Rabbi Akiva is Mechayev him only when he forgot that he was Tomei, not when he didn't know or forgot that this was the Beis HaMikdash. So fine, but we would say, but as far as Malkus, he's getting Malkus for all those cases. The question then is, Yehochi, then you have several problems with that. First of all, Yedias, what do you mean? You're saying Yedias HaTumah. Hasrois mi boilei. The key thing in that case is not the number of cases where he knew that he was Tomei and then forgot. The question is, how many different kinds of Hasrois he gets with his Chayav Malkus? Because then the Yedias are not really the relevant point. It's the number of times that he got Hasra. Even if he knew that what he's doing is wrong, he's not getting Malkus unless there's Hasra. So the Mishnah should have used the word Hasrois. Kasha, that's still not a problem. Tony Yedias Gasteros. Fine, it means the number of cases of knowledge in which there can be Hasra, where they're maslahim and they tell him don't enter the Beis HaMikdash or don't eat these kardashim, and if you do, you're gonna be Chayav Malkus. Fine, it uses the word Yedias, that's not such a big deal. So, in other words, the ritva teaches out that the word Yedias HaTumah would mean, according to this, that he knew that he was Tomei and he went in b'mezid. But what we mean is Yedias. We mean, in other words, that, so we thought that it means yediyas as in the knowledge, and then he forgot, and now he's chayav a korban. So we'll say, no, it means yediyas as far as the actual number of cases in which he knows that what he's doing is wrong, and therefore they give him malch, and they give him asra, and the result is he's chayav malchus. So the Gemara says, still that doesn't work because yihachi shtayim shein arba. Then what do you mean? Why are you calling it two which are four? Tartehu dehavim. In that case, you only have two. He goes into the Beis Hamikdash when he's tomei, and they give him asura. Don't go in because you're tomei, and that's the Beis Hamikdash. And the same thing with eating kodshim. So you only have two. It has to be, in order for him to be Chayav Malkus, they have to mention both points, that he's Tomei and that this is the Beis Hamikdash, or that he's Tomei and this is the Kodshin. So for a Korban, in other words, there can be, as Rashi teaches out, you can have all four, because you have, again, where he knows that he's Tomei, but he forgot that these are Kodshim, or knows that these are Kodshim, but forgot that he was Tomei, and the same thing with the Beis Hamikdash, but you're able to construct two which are four, you're able to construct four cases where he would be Chayav a Korban, but as far as Malkus, you don't really have that, because in order to give him Malkus, they have to give him Asra, and to give him Asra, they have to give him everything, they have to tell him everything, that you're Tomei, and that this is the Beis Hamikdash. So that's one problem. But two, Eshi Yeshba Yediyah B'Tchilah Ubi Yediyah B'Soif V'Helam Edayim. And also, if the Mishnah is saying that you have Yediyah at the beginning, Yediyah at the end, and a Helam in between, so what would you mean? Halama Malkus Mayavite. What Halama? If we're talking about, if the Mishnah is talking about over here about Malkus, then if the Mishnah is talking about over here about Malkus, then where is there room for Halama in the first place? The two hareza ba'ol v'yored, and the fact is, the Mishnah does go on and say that we're talking about Beni's chayv a korban ol v'yored. So it's clear that at least that part of the Mishnah has to be talking about the korban. So at that point, we can't say anymore that the Mishnah is talking about the mezid, and we're talking about the number of malchus. At least the continuation of the Mishnah definitely has to be talking about korbanos. So it doesn't really work out. We did say before it is possible to make the Mishnah work according to Rabbi Shmuel, but we still said we really would prefer to make the Mishnah work according to Rabbi Akiva, and according to that, there'd be no way of making it work because it wouldn't fit with the Lashon. Elam, but then, so, and you can't say that it's all talking about Malkus, because again, then it doesn't explain the Shtayim Shein Arba and the mention of Helam and the mention of the Korban. Elam, Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef says now. The answer is going to be, here, all this time we were bothered by that the Mishnah has to be according to one Tana. I'll tell you, the Mishnah is according to one Tana. Rebbe, our Mishnah is according to Rebbe. The Nosif, La Libra de Tanoi. Rebbe chaps on according to the different Tanoim. In other words, Rebbe is not obligated to make a Mishnah be all according to one Tana before him. He can have one part of the Mishnah. He can establish that one part of the Mishnah is like one Tana and the other one is like the other. In other words, the Ritzvah explains, you would have Rebbe himself, after all, Rebbe is not just sitting in his private room and writing the Mishnayos, he's writing the Mishnayos based on what all the Bnei HaYeshiva are discussing and concluding. So you have, when it comes to one particular part, the Bnei HaYeshiva agreed to one opinion, and with another part, they agreed with another opinion. The Yediyas Nosav like Rabbi Shmuel, when it comes to Yediyas HaTumah, he puts the Mishnah like Rabbi Shmuel, that he's Chayav Korban in all four cases. The Shavuos Nosav like Rabbi Akiva, and when it comes to Shavuos, then he's using the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva's opinion, that says that he's Chayav Korban for all four cases of Shavuos. So therefore, the Mishnah can work out very neatly, and we're not obligated to say, and we have no problem with saying that part of it is according to Rebbe, and part of it is according to Rabbi Akiva, and part according to Rabbi Shmuel, because fine, what it means is the Rebbe and his and the Chachamim of his yeshiva decided that the Mishnah should be that way. Over Ravashi, so Ravashi says, I'm Rita the Shmaita Kamed Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana says, I was telling over the statement of Rabbi Yosef in front of Rav Kahana. And Rav Kahana explained to me, Loi tema Rebbe Nosiv La Libid the Tanoi, V'loi Loi Svirloi. Don't think that means, like we would think on the surface, that it means that maybe Rebbe himself doesn't agree with that concept, but just fine, you know, his Bnei HaYeshiva held that way, and therefore he's going along with it. Ella Rebbe time of the Nafshim Mefarish. Rather, Rebbe is explaining something that fits with his own shita. Rebbe himself personally holds like Rebbe Shmuel in the one case and like Rebbe Akiva in the other case. The Pnei Yeshua talks about an interesting nachtamina between these two possibilities. Later on, at the beginning of the next parak, we're going to have the Mishnah is again going to start with Yedias Shtayim Shein Arba, and there you're going to have the Machloikas, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Shmuel, about whether he's Chayev, if he didn't know that this was the Bais Mikdash or not. So if you're going to say, like Rabbi Yosef had said, Rebbe even nosed la libe de tanoi, that Rebbe himself doesn't necessarily hold like one or the other of these opinions. Rebbe may hold differently, but he put the Stam Mishnah, following what his Chachmei Yeshiva said. Well, then in that case, then still we have a machloikas on this later in the parak, and it's in later in the Masechta, and we know Stam ba'achakach machloikas, the halacha is not going to be like the Stam. So therefore, that would mean that Rebbe changed his mind and decided that even though Rebbe put the Stam Mishnah over here, because that's what his Bnei HaYeshiva held, would mean that he himself doesn't hold that way, and he himself hints at that by putting a Machloikas later on to imply the Halacha is not like this. Whereas now, if Rav Kahana is saying that Rebbe is saying according to his own Svara, then we have less reason to say that Rebbe changed his mind, because we find in this particular part we're saying as far as the Shtayim Shein Arba, when it comes to Yedias HaTuma, it comes out that he holds exclusively like Rabbi Shmuel. Later on in the Masechta, he's putting a Machloikas. Fine, because we need to be aware that there is a Machloikas on that, but not necessarily would it mean that Rebbe is saying that the Halacha should not be like Rabbi Shmuel. So D'Tanya, where do we see that Rebbe himself holds that way? We learn in a Braisa. Minayin she'en chayev elal she'esh v'yadiyah b'tchila v'yadiyah b'sof v'helam in time. Where indeed do we know that when it comes to Tumas Mifdash v'kodeshav, that a person is chayev only if there was this yadiyah at the beginning and at the end and the helam in between, which is unique by all other mitzvahs. You don't have, for example, let's say a person ate chaylev. Doesn't matter, even if he never knew that the thing was chaylev, he's still going to be chayev a korban eventually when he finds out. The same thing with pretty much all other Averis. Where do we see that Tumas Mifdash v'Kodeshav is different? Tamad Lema, v'nelam, shnei pomim, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, because it says twice the word v'nelam, you have the psukim that describe Tumas Mifdash v'Kodeshav, describe that he became Tomei with he became Tomei with a sheret, he became Tomei with tuma that comes from a person, etc. And each time it says the word v'nelam imenu, he wasn't aware. Of course, it talks about actually where he touched anything that's Tomei or a nevela of a chay or a behema or sheret, and then the next pasuk continues that he touches of tuma of a person. And each time it says the word v'nelam, divrei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says because of that repeated word v'nelam, then therefore that teaches us that there has to be a yediyah at the beginning and a yediyah at the end and a halam in the middle. Tosfos actually discusses and has in other words it actually explains that Rabbi Akiva would be saying as follows: The first v'nelam would teach us that there has to be he's chayev only so like this. The first one, Rabbi Akiva is saying, would tell us, as Rabbi Akiva's own shitta is, that it means that only if he forgot that he's Tomei, not if he forgot that this is the Bais Mikdash. Because again, we've been saying all this time that Rabbi Akiva holds, if he forgets or doesn't know that this is the Bais Mikdash, that's not being mechayiv him in a korban. So the first v'nelam would tell us that what is it that he forgot, that he was Tomei. The second one would be available for a drosha, namely that since we have, you also have the words in the pasuk, v'hu yoda. So you put it, you imagine as though the word v'hu yoda was placed between the two vehelems, and that means, in other words, that there was a, that there, that after he knew, after v'hu yoda, v'nelam, then he forgot. So that tells us that there needs to be a diya b'tchila. And then Rashi points out, of course, there has to be a diya at the end, otherwise how's he bring a korban? So a yediyah at the end you have to have with any kind of korban, so you don't really need a pasuk to tell us that. So the fact that it says v'hu yoda, and the fact that it says v'second v'nelam, even though it's not in that order in the pasuk, nevertheless we can still darish in as though it was in that order, and therefore the result is that it means that there has to be a yediyah and then a helam. So that's how Rashi explains what Rabbi Akiva is saying about the Ne'elam twice. Tosfos has a bunch of questions about that, so Tosfos explains that Rabbi Akiva is just saying not so much the fact that you have not so much that we're saying that you have one Ne'elam teaches us that he forgot the Truma, and the other one teaches us that it goes together with the Viyada. Just the fact that there's an extra Vanellam means, in other words, Vanellam implies that he knew something to begin with, and now it was hidden from him. Or what it means is that actually that we treat it as though, yeah, you have Vanellam, then Vahu Yoda, and then Vanellam again, and then it would mean, in other words, that there was a Yadi before the Helam and after the Helam. So those are alternate ways of understanding. Those are alternate ways of understanding Rabbi Akiva's opinion. In turn, actually, the Marshal and Marsha and Pnei Yeshua and various Achronim talk about various nuances within all of that. Rebbe is going to use the expression Einot Tzorich. Marshal is bothered by that. According to Rashi's explanation, what's the Einot Tzorich? What do you mean? You need the Vanilla more according to Rebbe's understanding than you would according to Rabbi Akiva. So he asks on that, and Marsha in turn explains that, and Pnei Yeshua goes and discusses that further anyway. But first, let's go through Rebbe's opinion, and then let's see. So Rebbe says, I don't need the fact that it says Vanelam twice. Just the word Vanelam itself implies Harei Oimer Vanelam Vanelam Harei Oimer Vanelam. Just the fact that the pasuk says the word Vanelam by itself means Meklal de Yoda. The word Vanelam, it was hidden from him, implies that it's something that he knew beforehand. As the Gemara will explain how we see that. Vahu Yoda, then when the pasuk explicitly says in the next pasuk when it says and he knew Tarei Kan Shtei Yadiyos, then there you go, there's your two Yadiyos. So that means that there had to be a Yediyah at the beginning and at the end. Imken matam alem v'nelam v'nelam. So in that case, says Rebbe, why does it have to repeat the word v'nelam in the pasuk? L'chayv al helam tumah v'al helam mikdash, to tell us not like Rabbi Akiva, who said that he's chayv only if there was helam tumah, only if he didn't know that he was tumah. But Rabbi Akiva is not says that he's potter from a korban, that he can't bring a korban if there was helam mikdash, if he didn't know that this was a mikdash. No, Rebbe is saying the two v'nelams are teaching us one for Helam Mikdash and the other one for Helam Tumah. That being the case, then, now that we say that, then we can say, as Rav Kahana says, now we see that Rebbe himself does clearly hold when it comes to Yediyas HaTumah like Rabbi Shmuel and not like Rabbi Akiva, because we can see that he darshins the pasuk differently than Rabbi Akiva and says that he is chayv for both kinds of Helam. As we said, you know, Marshal is bothered by the question that according to Rabbi Akiva, both of them are we're using one. According to Rebbe, we need, what do you mean, Einot Tzorich? You need more. Rebbe requires both the Ne'elams and the Vahu Yoda, as opposed to, according to Rabbi Akiva, one of them is coming legufe and not for a drasha. So the Marshal explains that it means Rebbe Emel Loit Tzorich. You don't, when he says Loit Tzorich, means, in other words, you don't need the whole thing legufe. All of it is available for drashas. Marshal considers that to be a doichik. And explains Rashi differently, and Pnei Yeshua talks about in a bit of detail. He goes into a bit of an arichus to explain how Tosfos has a bunch of questions on Rashi, and he explains how on the contrary, if you learn how on the contrary the flow of the Gemara works better according to Rashi, that in fact Rabbi Akiva is learning, like we said, from one Vanelam. That he's learning that one Vanelam just means that he didn't know, and the other Vanelam teaches us specifically that the one teaches us only Helam Tuma, and the other one teaches us that we have there was a Yediyah and then a Halama, which is how it has to be, Yediyah, Helam, and Yediyah. So Pnei Yeshua goes into some detail and explains how that explains everything that Rashi is saying and answers all of Tosfos' various questions on the subject. So the Gemara says, Ashkechon Yidiyas, the Isfei Taimed and Afshei. Fine. Now, what we said on Amar Aleph, that Rav Kahana is saying, you should know that Rebbe himself holds in one area, like Rebbe Shmuel, and in the other area, like Rebbe Akiva. So fine. So far we've shown that Rebbe, in fact, does hold like Rebbe Shmuel when it comes to Tumas Mikdash Rekodshav. And therefore, again, that in our Mishnah, when it says Yidiyas, the Tumas Shaim Shein Abra, goes ultimately according to Rebbe Shmuel. But we're saying it's not that the Mishnah is half according to Rebbe Shmuel and half according to Rebbe Akiva. It's that Rebbe's own opinion is half like Rebbe Shmuel and half like Rebbe Akiva, which is a Tana he's entitled to do. So fine. Shavuos the Isfei Taimim and Nafshim in Olam. Where do we see that Rebbe holds when it comes to Shavuos, that he holds of his own reasoning, that namely he says when it comes to Shavuos, he accepts Rebbe Akiva's explanation and says that he'd be chayv a korban for all four cases, to the two in the past and the two in the future. And the answer is svaru. And the answer is Rebbe holds that it's a svara, as the Gemara will explain soon, what Rebbe's svara is to say that that they should be chayv a korban for all four cases of Shavuos. So therefore, once we do that, the point of all of this was, again, we had Rabbi Yosef as saying that Rebbe even nosev la'alibud the Tanoi, and then we had Rabbi Kahana saying this is actually Rebbe's own opinion, not just the opinion of the Chachmei HaYeshiva. The result of it is, therefore, that we can say the entire Mishnah is, in fact, talking about Korbanos. Now we don't have the questions that we had on Amud Aleph, that in that case, then why are we saying Shtayim Shein Arba, when you don't have four cases of Malkus, when it comes to Yedias HaTumah, and why is it, and the Mishnah is clearly mentioning Korban Olav Yored, because, in fact, the Mishnah, all of the Mishnah, is talking about as far as the number of korbanos. So therefore, what it means is, in all four cases of Mishnah, Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba, there are two which are four cases of Shavuos when he's going to be chayv a korban, two past, two future. Yedias HaTumah Shtayim Shein Arba, two where he forgot that it was Kodesh or Mikdash, and two where he forgot that he was Tomei. So far we would have those all respectively according to Rebbe Akiva and according to Rebbe Shmuel, and no problem, we're saying, because Rebbe formulated the Mishnah like those two different opinions, then we'd have Yitzias HaShabbos, Shtayim Shein Arba, would mean if a person did all four of those actions on Shabbos, then he could be chayev four chatos. Unless he did the Hail Mechad, which is another matter, but in other words, the point is there could be many Hail Lamas, and then he's chayev four different chatos, and Maris Negoim, Shtayim Shein Arba, namely, but if he's told me with any of those four, then eventually he's going to have to bring a korban. So svara that Rebbe uses a svara to say that when it comes to Shavuos to hold like Rebbe Akiva, that he's chayav a korban for all four of them. Lishna Achrina, another version, which is in parenthesis over here, because it's basically just restating what it said in other words. Ashkechon b'yedias to sava like Rebbe Shmuel. We find by yedias, we see clearly from the previous braisa that he holds like Rebbe Shmuel. B'shavuos to sava like Rebbe Akiva Manolan. How do we know that by Shavuos he holds like Rebbe Akiva? And the answer is svaruhu. It's basically the same thing, just restated in other words. Probably what it was is originally there were different girsois in different kisviyad, and now the printer is just putting them together. Namely, what is that svara? So the svara would be as follows. Rebbe Akiva, my time of chayev the shalvar. Why is Rebbe Akiva holding that he should be chayev for shvua about the past? After all, the pasuk says lahora olahetiv, to do bad or to do good, which implies that we're talking about something in the future. Because you can only talk about lahora to do good, something in the future, to do bad, olahetiv, or to do something good in the future. So where is Rebbe Akiva getting that a person is in fact chayev a korban for shvua l'sha'ovar, when he says, I did eat or I didn't eat, and it turns out it was the opposite. The reason is, the dorash ribuya umiyoti. Evidently, it must be, because Rebbe Akiva darshan's using the ribuya miyot principle rather than klal of prat. So Rashi goes into an arichus over here. This is a general point that you have in many places in Shas, and Rashi spends quite a bit of space over here dealing with the difference. If we say klal or prato klal, then basically what it means is that you're going to have the klal is going to include everything, but then the prat would then reduce it only to the things mentioned in the prat. That would be the rule that we have in the Braisa of Shmuel, klal or prat. But then when you have another klal as well, it comes to tell you you do have to add something to the prat. That's why you have the second klal. But all you can add is things that are similar to the prat. You have to don elakeina prat. So in this case, therefore, so you would have, when the pasuk says, see here you'd have a klal, you know, a klal, when a person makes a shavua, you have a prat, where he says, where he says, lahora u lahetiv, then you would have a klal again, lachola sheyivata onam b'shavua. If we learn it as a klal, a prat, a klal, then it would mean, what can you include? Only things that are fairly similar to lahora u lahetiv. So fine, it would mean that the shavua does not just include, that the case where he's chayav a korban for a shavua would not be only lahora u lahetiv, it would be other things as well. But at least it has to be similar, it doesn't have to be necessarily things that are good or bad. There could be, for example, in the future that he will do something which is neutral, it's neither good nor bad for him. But fine, at least it has to be in the future, because that's what lahora lahetiv are. You wouldn't have a basis for including things that were in the past, which are not like the prat at all. Because, in other words, the original klal tells us otherwise. If we only had a prat or klal, then if the prat or klal would mean a nasa klal, mosif ala prat, it would mean that the klal comes to include everything that wasn't in the prat, and then we would include everything. But now that we have a klal at the beginning, and then a prat, and then a klal, then that tells us only include things that are similar to the prat. That's if we use klal, a prat, a klal. Meanwhile, if we use ribui, miut ribui, then all we mean is the prat is just telling us, then the prat is not coming to explain the klal. Like this with a klal, a prat, a klal, Rashi explains. The point is the prat is coming to explain the klal. You have a klal over here, any kind of shavua. But then you have a prat, which is limiting it only to certain pratim within that. Now, you have a klal again, fine, so it means you include other things, but still those other things have to be similar to it. If you use ribui, miut ribui, then it means, rather, that you're saying, so the prat is only reducing the klal by a little bit. In other words, you're saying the klal would include everything. The prat tells you there's one particular detail that you have to exclude from the klal. And then when you have the ribui again comes and tells us that indeed the things that you're adding back in can be even not in a prat, and all you're doing is you find the one that's the least similar to the klal and you exclude it. The Gemara uses this point in a number of places. Here further down on the Amud, the Gemara is going to give examples of this. Tosfos points out the Gemara could have brought other examples that are brought in other places in Shas. So now for Rabbi Akiva to say that the concept of Shavuos Bitui and the concept of a korban for it applies even L'Shavar requires him to use Ribui and Miut, because again, if he was using Klal Prat like Rabbi Shmuel does, then he wouldn't be able to be Marbe, he wouldn't be able to include in the Klal anything in the past, because that's not at all similar to Lahorai Lahetiv. So Rabbi Akiva, therefore, is darshaning l'shavar because the darish ribui miut, because he holds that you darshan using the ribui miut principle, ribui miut ribui principle. Well, then Rabbi Nami darish ribui miut. Rabbi holds the same thing. Therefore, we can say a svara that Rabbi holds like Rabbi Akiva in that regard. Tosfos discusses that there are other Gemaras that seem to imply that Rabbi Akiva uses klal prat, not ribui miut. But then Tosfos finds a couple of different ways to answer it. So where do we see this? Titania, as we see that Rebbe himself also holds of using ribui miut. Titania, Rebbe Omer, bakol poidin b'chor adam. You can be poidin, you can do pidyon aben with anything that's worth 5 sloim. Chutzme avodim ushtoris for kalkos, with the exception of slaves and documents where you have a choiv in them and karka.
I think it's good.
Did I? No, I didn't. Rabbi Akiva, my time in Mechayev the Shavar, come Mechayev the Shavar. Why is Rabbi Akiva Mechayev him on the past? The Dorish Ribui Yomiyoti. Rabbi Nami, Dorish Ribui Yomiyoti. Rabbi also holds that you're darishing using Ribui and Miut, and therefore it's a svara, therefore, that once we see in a different area of Halacha that he holds of Ribui and Miut, then we have good reason to say that he also holds like Rabbi Akiva in that, and the result would be that he's Chayev a korban for a Shavuos victory, whether the Shavar or Labo. Yeah. Titania. Rebbe Omer, Bakol Poidin B'chor Adam, Rebbe says that you can use anything for Pidyon HaBen, Chutzmen HaShtoris, with the exception, Rebbe says the only thing you can't use are Shtoris. Yeah, that was where I skipped. Rabbanan Amri, where's the Rabbanan? Say, no, Bakol Poidin B'chor Adam, Chutzmen HaVodim, or Shtoris for Kakoris. The Chum excludes 3 things, not just Shtoris, but also Avodim and, Karka. So my time of the Rebbe, why does Rebbe hold that you can't use shtaris, but you could use anything else? So the reason is, so the reason is based on this ribui miut ribui principle. So in other words, the shtar would be, Rashi explains, Poshet, that you have some Reuven owes Shimon five sloyim, so now Shimon has a bechor, he's going to take that shtar and give it to the Kohen and say, now, Mr. Kohen, you can now collect from me, you can now collect these five sloyim from Reuven using the shtar, then therefore they'll be saying that doesn't work. Chum say, not only that, but also if he gives him an eved worth five sloyim, or if he gives him karka worth five sloyim. It does work, by the way, everybody agrees that it does work with metal. The Gemara in Bechoris tells us of several cases of Amidoyim who gave some kind of keli or clothing or something to the Kohen, and it worked because it can be valued at five sloyim, but not these three things. Tosfos, by the way, mentions briefly the point that the implication is it is possible to transfer shtar to somebody else, and that works on a deraisa level, whereas there are other gemaras in other places that imply that maybe not. So that's a whole other matter. That's another whole discussion that Dinim Mamakas. But anyway, the point is focusing on our gemara over here. So Rebbe Darshan's Ribuyo Mioti. Namely, like this, the pasuk says, the whole pasuk goes like this. So, Fuduyah v'min chodesh tifter, and you, the ones who have to be redeemed, you redeem from 1 month old, be'erkecha, according to your valuation, kesef, silver, chamesh shkolim, be'shekel hakodesh, five shkolim, according to the value of the shekel hakodesh, esyon geira hu, which is 20 geira. So Rebbe holds your darshan like this. Ufduya b'min chodesh riba. The word ufduya b'min chodesh is a riba. It means that any firstborn that's a month old, you're poide ufduyav, and you're poide with anything. Then you have be'erkecha kesef chamesha shkolim miut. When it says that you have according to the valuation of five silver shkolim as a miut, that would imply if you only had at that point the ribuy and the miut, it would mean you have to be poide with five silver shkolim and no other substitutes are possible. Tifteh chozer riba. But the pasuk says tifteh, you should redeem. Then therefore that's a riba again. You can redeem with anything. So now Rebbe says riba miut riba riba hakol. So now when you have a riba and a miut and a riba, then it means ultimately, like we said before, the miut is not meant to qualify the riba. It means that everything is included. So we're including everything. My riba kol mili, the riba at the beginning and at the end tells us to include anything. My miut, the fact you have a one miut in the middle means you have to be mamayit the one thing that is the least similar to the riba. Fine, miut shtaris. The one thing you're being mamayit then is shtaris, which are the least similar to five sloyim, because they themselves are not mammon at all. The piece of paper is just that, just a piece of paper, as the Gemara elsewhere phrases it. Lots of pizza chisay as a piece of paper. All it's good for is using as a bottle wrapper. It's only valuable because of the choyv that's in it. So therefore, so it's the least similar to. It's not gufon mammon, as the Gemara phrases it. So that's a chon to Rebbe. But Rabbanan darshi klal prati. The Chachamim are going to darshi using the klal prat or klal system, which means, in other words, that they're going to say, like we said, the prat comes to tell us, exclude from the klal, only, so far klal prat would tell you only, do only the prat, don't include anything else. The klal at the end, fine, tells you, you have to include other things, but they have to be similar to the prat. They have to be as similar as possible to the fact. So therefore, so they say, so they say, so you have to judge strictly according to the prat. By the way, since we were saying before, it's Rabbi Akiva who holds a ribui miut ribui. That's why, you know, the braisa that we say every day, the braisa of Rabbi Shmuel, doesn't mention ribui miut ribui because Rabbi Shmuel doesn't hold of that principle. Therefore, this is why we have over there plal prat to plal. Anyway, so the Chachamim are darshaning like that. So you have to don elakena prat. So you have to judge and include only things that are similar to the prat. Ma prat nefurish dover amatalt of a gufay moment. The prat, when it mentions five sloyim, has two characteristics. It's metalto, you can move it, and it itself has intrinsic value. Af kol davar metalto, but go for a moment, the same way, anything you want to do pidyon avet with has to be something that's metaltolin, and that has intrinsic value. Yotzu karkoros shein metaltolin, therefore that will include karka, which is not movable. Yotzu avodim shehuk shel karkoros will exclude also slaves, because there's a hekesh between them and land, since the pasuk tells us in Parashas Behar about avodim knanim, You have the expression, you will bequeath them to your children after you. So therefore, as a chuza, which is the usual term for landed real estate. So we learn from that that in many ways, avodim are similar to karka. There are all the dinim we learn from that as well, such as that avodim can be acquired with kesef, shtar, and chazaka, just like karka. And there's a number of dinim that come from that. So therefore, avodim are also excluded. Yotzu shtaris, and shtaris are excluded, afbich and metalzman, because even though they're movable, ain't guf and mammon, their guf is not money, because they're not the guf of them themselves. It's just the worth of a piece of paper. It's only they're worth five sloyim, because there's a debt of five sloyim written in them. So we see from all of this that Rebbe does hold of Ribui Mirat Ribui. Therefore, when it comes to our case of Shavuos Bitui, it's logical to say that he also says the same thing, and therefore that he holds like Rebbe Akiva that Shavuos Bitui isn't, that he in fact chayev korban on all four cases and not just on the two of them like Rebbe Shmuel had said. Now, the problem with that is, Omalei Ravina, La'amema, Rebbe Dorish Ribui Umiyoti. You're telling me that Rebbe holds of the Ribui and Miyot and Ribui system. Well, Rebbe, Klali Uproti Dorish. We find in a different context where Rebbe himself uses Klal Uprot. The Tanya, as we have a machloikas about an Eved Ivri. So we have an Eved Ivri wants to stay on past 6 years, so we have to pierce his ear. And the Pasuk says that you have to pierce his ear by Mautseah, with an awl. There's a drasha on it, by the way, that's brought in some Mefarshim, that Marseille is Gematria 400, so it represents the 400 years that the Yidden was supposed to be in Mitzrayim, and this guy wants to still stay a slave, but it's looking at it on a pshat halochadika level. Why did it say Marseille? Ainli ela Marseille. If you only had the word Marseille in the pasuk, you would know that literally you have to use a Marseille, an awl, which is a short metal tool that's used for poking holes, for making holes in leather. Minayin l'rabas ha-soil. How do we know that you can also use a soil, which would be a short piece of wood, v'hasira, or a thorn, v'hamachat, or a needle, v'hamachdeach, or a drill, v'hamachdev, or a stylus that you use to scratch letters on a wax tablet or something, tamad leimah v'lakachta, because of that, the Pasuk uses the expression, v'lakachta, you should take. The Marseah implies, kol dovash, shenokach b'yad, so it implies that you can use anything that can be taken by the hand. Divir Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda learns that way and says that a person could use, that the master could use any of those things to make a hole in the Eved's ear. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, no, Marseah, no, because the Pasuk says Marseah. Ma Marseah miyuchad shal matras. A Marseah is made out of metal. Af kol shal matras, the same way anything you use has to be metal. Ramunin, and we say, but my conversely, what is the underlying machlokas? Exactly that. Rebbe Dorish Klali Uproti, Rebbe Yosef Yehuda Dorish Ribui Umiyoti. It's the same kind of thing. The word v'lakachta is a klal or ribui. The word as a marzeya is a miut or prat. And then when it says, v'nasata ba'ozne ovadelas, you should put it into his ear by the door, then it means, again, anything that could be put through the ear. So Rebbe is going to use the klal prat klal system and say, therefore, that since the prat is something of metal, therefore we learn from that it has to have to be metal, and it can't be like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda had said, a piece of wood or a thorn. Whereas Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda uses ribu miyut ribu, and therefore he says you can include everything with the exception Tosfos points out based on the Gemara in Kiddushin. Even Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda has to be mamayit one thing. He's mamayit, as the Gemara says over there, satin, that if a person would use like some kind of strong acid or something that burns through the flesh, that wouldn't work. He's not yotze the mitzvah that way. But anything else that can be taken by hand, whether it's made out of metal or wood, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda holds would work. Tosfos points out you have a similar machlokas as far as the menorah and as far as the clay shortest in general, similar kind of thing. Where Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda holds they can be made out of wood, and Rebbe holds that they have to be made out of metal. So you have several examples like that where we see that Rebbe holds a klal of prat of klal, and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda holds a ribui miyot ribui.
Ribui miyot ribui, a default setting of klal of prat of klal. If you don't hold one, you have to hold the other.
It has to be one or the other. Yeah, I mean the Torah is not just mentioning a general statement and a specific statement just for stylistic reasons. There has to be something we learn from it. Allah. So yes, either one or the other. Now you have different, there are different nuances within each one of them. We have to realize, b'chlal, when we talk about in the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel, when we have the Shalosh Hashas Midrash, Shachar and Adreshas Behen, each of them is really a general principle which includes many subtle details within it. For example, Kavachomer, you have the Gemara mentions elsewhere, you have the concept of Dayai, you have the whole concept of slugging it up, you have the whole concept of making a Kavachomer based on a Tzara Shoveh. All of those are included within that general concept of Kavachomer. Zera Shoveh, you have the details of Mufne, Mufne Mishadachad, Mufne Mishnei Tzadin, and so forth. So each one of them, you have finer details within it that are within that one. So here, when we got to Klala Prata Klal, then you have the Gemara elsewhere mentions various details in it. First of all, the Gemara deals with the Nozer in the, if we're going to say, let's say Klala Prat, if we're going to say, let's say Klala Prat, the Gemara deals with over there. Why Bechlal? If you're going to say anyway, you're limiting it to the Prat, why not just say the Prat and not need the Klal at all? And vice versa, if you're going to say Prat to Klal and you're going to include everything, why have the Prat in the first place? The Gemara explains there basically because otherwise you would think to make a Binyan Av or different things like that. But here also, you have also, for example, details the Gemara talks about elsewhere, what happens when the Klal of Prat of Klal are not right next to each other in the Pesukim, what about where they're in different Pesukim? Can we douch in them? Can we rearrange a Pesuk to create a Klal of Prat of Klal? Like we talked about before, rearranging, putting the word V'yada, V'hu Yada, between the V'nelam. So you have all kinds of nuances within that. But yeah, as far as the underlying question, whether we're using Klal of Prat or whether you're using Ribu Yomir, it's yes, there has to be one or the other. So again, the question then is, if Rebbe clearly holds in those cases of klal or prat or klal, then how are we saying that over here he holds of ribu miyut ribu, that we're saying that he holds of it when it comes to pidyon haben, and we're saying then probably he holds like it also when it comes to shavuos, so what's going on over here? So the Gemara says, "Ain, but I'm a klal or prat or darish." In fact, yes, we can say usually Rebbe does usually darshan according to the klal or prat or klal system. V'hocha, ha'inu taima, the reason why, when it comes to pidyon haben, a special thing, why he uses ribui miut, is for a special reason. K'detana d'Rei Rabbi Shmuel, because it's similar to something that Rabbi Shmuel taught in a braisa in a different context. Exactly this point where you have this question of whether you can rearrange the pasuk to create a klal of prat. Now, like this, the Tana d'Rei Rabbi Shmuel, b'mayim b'mayim, in Parshas Shmini, when it talks about what kinds of water creatures you're allowed to eat and what you're not allowed to eat. So twice the pasuk says the word b'mayim, es zet terchel mikolash b'mayim, anything that has fins and scales b'mayim. So now, and then you have by yamim vanacholim. Then you have a pran which mentions among the water. It mentions the seas and the streams, the rivers. So that's a klal, and a prat. So Rabbi Shmuel holds the Tana d'Rei Rabbi Shmuel. Ein zeh klal a prat ela ribu yomir. So Tana d'Rei Rabbi Shmuel holds we cannot call that a klal a prat or klal. Instead, we have to darshan it as a ribui miyut ribui. He says, because you have the two klolim, one next to the other, therefore it means that, now it's true that you have a detail over there, bayamim v'nacholim, we have to put it as though the word bayamim v'nacholim are between the two bamayims. And the result is, we're going to have a ribui miyut ribui. That has to do with dinim that the Gemara discusses over there in terms of are there bodies of water in which you are allowed to eat creatures that don't have fins and scales. The Gemara discusses over there. You have, for example, you can have ponds, you can have barrels of water or whatever where creatures start growing in them. Are you allowed to eat them? So Rabbi Shmuel is saying that since you have a ribui miyut ribui, then basically the answer would be no. Most of them you're not allowed to, with one exception. One exception where you would be allowed to. So now when it comes to the pidyon haben, also you have two klolim and then a prat of duyav mimen chodesh tifta, and then it says the prat in between be'erkacham chameshes klolim. So Rebbe is going to hold in that case, like Tana d'Rei Rabbi Shmuel, that in that case that can't be a klal of prat because they're out of order. So therefore, there's no choice but to darshan as a ribu miyut ribu. Well, but Rabbanon, what are the Chachamim answer to that? Why do they darshan by pidyon haben with klal of prat to klal, even though it's out of order? And the answer is Amar Avinu, because the Chachamim say exactly that. Kidami b'marava, like they say in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, Kol makom shatam, that's not a problem that they're out of order. Kol makom shatam moitza, kol makom shatam moitza shtei klolos asmuchos zelazeh, when you have two klolos, one after the other, and then afterwards comes the prat, no problem. Hatol prat beneim, stick the prat between them, bedunim, a klal of prat, and then you can judge them as if it was a klal of prat to klal. The chacham have no problem rearranging a pasuk to do that.
What's the threat?
Okay, so what we're saying is, whenever you have a classic klal of prat or klal, namely where they're actually in that order in the pasuk, then yes, Rebbe is going to darshan in it using klal of prat or klal. Therefore, when it comes to piercing the ear of the Eved, there you have it, is in the proper order. The lakachta, esamartseya, the nosata, there is a klal of prat or klal. So therefore, Rebbe says, don't tell me it's a ribri, mute ribri. It's clearly a klal of prat or klal. But when you have, just like Rebbe Shmuel says, when it comes to the water creatures, that since you have klal prat, Rabbi Shmuel says that can't be a klal prat to klal. You can't rearrange it. Rather, if Zaushin is a ribui miut ribui, Rebbe holds the same thing. So therefore, by Pidyon HaBen, Rebbe is going to apply that and say you have the same kind of thing. But ordinarily, Rebbe. So that would explain why Rebbe sometimes holds of one and sometimes the other. The Chachamim, meanwhile, are going to say across the board that no, you can say that it always is a klal prat to klal. Well. The question is, Hashid Amit, Rebbe Kali or Prati Dorish? Though if you're telling me that Rebbe in general holds like Klal Prat, Baal Kocha, Kasha Shavuos, then you're back to the question. Then you still have the question of Shavuos. Because again, all this time we were saying, we just said on Dalet Amud Beis, we said it's a Svara that Rebbe must hold like Rebbe Akiva when it comes to Shavuos, because he holds a Ribu Miut Ribu, just as Rebbe Akiva does. But now that we're saying that no, Rebbe in general holds a Klal Prat or Klal unless he has a particular reason to say ribu miut ribu, by Shavuos you don't have that. By Shavuos it's a classic klal of prat to klal. Where you have the expression, there you have yivati b'sfasayim is a klal, lahorai lahetiv is a prat. L'cholashu Yivate is a klal again, so it's a classic klal of prat to klal, and we just established that Rebbe is going to hold of klal of prat to klal in that. So how could he hold like Rebbe Akiva? So you're right, the Gemara says, Ela b'shavuos nosiv alibad de Rebbe Akiva. So of necessity, we have to say that when it comes to Shavuos, Rebbe gives our Mishnah, according to Rebbe Akiva, who would say that he is chayav a korban for all four cases, but Rebbe himself does not hold like that, and does hold that in fact that he would be chayav for only two of them, like Rabbi Shmuel, and not for all four of them, like Rabbi Akiva. He put in the Mishnah like all four of them, because like we said before from the Ritva, his bnei hayeshiva held that way, and he wasn't going to go argue with them. Or b'chlal, you have that sometimes, you have, like we've learned many times, much of the Mishnah existed in its current form before Rebbe, so Rebbe is just ratifying what everybody is already learning in the Yeshivas. They're learning Shayim Shayin Abba when it comes to Shavuos, and therefore he leaves it like that, even though he personally doesn't hold that way. So Tosfos points out, by the way, that even according to Rabbi Shmuel, we do have over here an example where Rabbi Shmuel himself is darshaning with ribui miut ribui. So Taka, why doesn't he include it in his Yud Gimel Midas Shatur in Adreshes Behem? We're saying that ordinarily maybe he holds a klal of prat, but we see that here we have an example where he says we have two klalas and then a prat, where there he darshans ribui miut ribui. He should have included it on the face of it as a separate klal within his list. Okay.